6th, 176th day of the new year. Join us this afternoon out of the Arcata Swamp. You are a swamp rat and proud of it, right? CHP Sergeant Martin Abshire. How you doing, bud?
I'm well.
Good. And drying out, too.
It's nice to be dry.
Yeah.
It's nice to be dry. Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that thing that's coming up next week. It's called Official Summer.
Official Summer.
I think all the graduations have happened. All the UCs are out. So I think everybody is now official summering.
Enjoying the summer sun.
Yeah.
Enjoying the safe summer travel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll be talking about that, too, when we come back. Afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Marty. How's that?
1780 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN
and
news from CNN.
Well, I don't know. What do you want, you know, other than officer?
Invite Juan the street to your business. For information, call 442-5770.
Sergeant Martin, then. How's that?
JUAN790.com.
That gun thing. You know, just kind of still a little healthy skepticism there. Yeah. Our quote this afternoon comes from Shirley MacLaine. Quote, "The more I travel, the more I realize the fear makes strangers of people who should be friends."
Hmm.
Like Sergeant Martin. Oh, boy. As you look at summertime as a professional traveler, what do you see? What do you look at? What do you use as your canaries that this is going to be a good tourist season or a challenging one?
You know, we usually look back and say this was a good season or this was a challenging season. We go into the future travel season always with optimism we hope that people will do the right thing. People stay buckled up, designate a driver, not drink and drive, and come and enjoy our redwoods and our lakes and rivers or fish our ocean and come to where, you know, we live. We live where people come to vacation, which is a great thing. So we always look at it optimistically. You know, we always have that little bit of reservation there that with increase of traffic and increase of people unfamiliar with our areas and, the unfortunate decisions to drink and drive and not wear seatbelts, those types of things that tragedy could happen. But we are always hopeful that we'll get through this season in better shape than the years prior.
We don't certainly have our thoroughfares running at capacity. During the tourist season, does it get close to that point ever? Or is it still, I can not think other than a major traffic detour, you know, a fire or something like that,
right,
where we really go slow bumper to bumper like the Bay Area, other than maybe in the afternoons on a Friday trying to get out of town in the summertime.
You know, we don't know. We don't have the bumper to bumper traffic. Absent a construction zone, some sort of emergency, we typically don't have backups like that. We do through the stoplights of Eureka in the afternoon. Everybody's aware of that. There is an increase in traffic along 299, parts of 101 and Highway 36. And that seems to come on the weekends. The 36 is world-renowned for motorcycling. It's a great road to ride. With an increase of traffic comes an increase of possibility to have incidents.
But if you drive with your window open, at least you can hear that they're coming.
Some.
Most times.
Some.
Most times. Or, you know, so you can anticipate some of the switchbacks and some of those turns.
You know, some vehicles you can hear, some you can't. So I don't know about that. I'd prefer the window up with the AC on if it's really that warm. But yeah, we live on the coast. It's cooler.
Yeah, I know. But I don't drive 36, so, you know, it's all theoretical anyway for me.
You get out of the fog and get out there, you roll your window down, it's nice and warm. It's nice. It's very good.
So the tourist travel season. You guys are pretty much on your toes from now until right around fair time at the end of the fair?
Well, we're on our toes year-round. There's no two ways about that. We have different seasons of the year where we anticipate different types of things happening. The first rain, snowy in the wintertime, the last rains where the motorcyclists come out, then the summertime with the increase of motorhomes and people from out of the air. So we're always on our toes about that kind of thing. Brian, you're talking about the increase for summer.
The load, you know, maybe snowy, but if it's us locals driving through the snow, okay, right, you know we're going to be brain dead, and you know, but at least you know who the players are, and the volume, rather than this increased level on top of the standard is.
It's not like the first rain in the metropolitan area. It's not like that. People here know what they're doing, and we really like that. We like that the rain comes, and we're pretty comfortable with how locals here handle that. I mean, people here drive in the rain, you know, we have those instances where somebody who's not familiar, and we end up with a fender bender, and it plugs up the road for a minute, and that's a, you know, it's a seemingly huge inconvenience for a relatively small event.
Are you surprised that we don't have more of those types of things, either people looking at the trees or the elk or the vistas or that kind of driving the rented RV that they've never driven before? I mean, you would think that there would be a lot more neighborhood connecting out on the highway. The people would just be, I'm consistently
looking
amazed.
Looking out for each other and driving?
No, looking at other things and running into each other. I would have. You know, just, I would think that would be more the case than what I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, we do pretty well here in not having the metropolitan area crush of crashes at every change of season, and you know, every weekend ball game. There's, you know, the trains and planes and cars are all plugged up on all the roads and bridges, and you know, it's hard to sit back and say, "Gosh, if only this were happening, it would be so much better."
Now that I've mentioned it, we'll probably have a humdinger next week, huh?
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Martin.
That's right.
You're going to have your business card changed. Sergeant Martin.
Just Sergeant Martin. Yeah. I'm cool with that. I'm the only one. I'm the only Martin. So
well, so that would work.
We could just say Martin.
No.
Okay.
I mean, you've earned the stripes, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes. See? Yes. See? I give you a little bit of credit there. Okay.
Yeah. I would introduce myself as Martin.
Not Sergeant Martin?
Not even in uniform. I'm like, hey, Martin, good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here nobody can tell the uniform.
No.
You know, particularly the official sandals.
The flip flops.
I was hoping nobody would notice that. As you look at summertime and patrols, you guys are out. Do you change the pattern based on the fact that it is the tourist season? During the break, we were talking about the elk. Okay. You know that there's going to be elk on the road. We know it. Tourists don't know it. I mean, they're driving looking for trees, not for these things with horns that have attitude.
Yeah.
Do you guys, will you try to do things to make allowances for that, whether it's being in the neighborhood, so folks are driving a little slower, so if they see the elk, they have more reaction time?
Well, it's yes and no, and it's not just specific to the elk. As an example, Highway 36 again. Last year that got a lot of attention. We had far too many fatal accidents, a lot of them on Highway 36. And going into this year, into 2014, and now the summertime, we do have an emphasis on Highway 36. We do, when we have the number of officers that are going to work in a day, we do adjust where they work in anticipation of traffic and issues in different places. We try to put an officer out on Highway 36 as much as we can in anticipation of traffic, especially on the weekends or on a Friday if there's going to be a lot of an event out at the lake or something like that. So yes, we do. On the other hand, places like Prairie Creek up near where the elk are, they're there all the time. So the officer that works up that direction, they like to work up that direction, so they're very familiar, and they know, they're more aware
where the herd is.
Right.
Also,
they're aware of the increase of traffic, and I think they spend a little more time up there. So we tried to with the way the state budget has been crippled the last few years, and we're coming out of that finally. It looks like the economy's kind of come back around a little bit. We still have a problem catching back up with recruiting. So I wish we had 8 officers to put out or 10 officers to put out a day. We just don't. So we manage the resources that we have, and yes, in part to the in anticipation for traffic or other events.
So if you guys are running 36 from our end, does Redding backfill or Red Bluff backfill on their end so that there's a couple of locations where they're going to see a squad car?
Yes, and there's a third CHP office also
Weaverville.
That's involved with Highway 36, and that's Weaverville. And the officer comes down through Highway 3.
So they hang out in Peanut?
Yeah.
Give the Ealers a hard time and then move on,
And you know, they do the same thing we do. You know, we have we anticipate some increased traffic on Highway 36. We send an extra guy out there when there's going to be an increase in lake traffic or there's an event out there or whatever. Weaverville does send down officers down onto Highway 36 in the Ruth Lake area in anticipation of that kind of thing. You know, the service that we provide is huge. To get the broken down family on their way rather than leaving them out there for the elements or for somebody to come along and run into them, that's huge. But also in response to you know, the 911 calls for those types of services.
Because in default, you're almost the sheriff for a lot of those areas also.
We do work hand in hand with our partners at the sheriff's departments because we're in the same boat. The resources have not caught back up to where they were years ago, and so we do work closely together and help one another out. That's huge.
It's always interesting for me. I don't know what you guys travel with in the trunk. I know what I joke.
And that's changed. We went from the sedan to the SUV.
Yeah, so you got a little bit more space for the shovels.
No,
that kind
it
of
went the
chainsaw?
Other direction.
Oh, really? You're shrunken?
Yes, we lost some space back there.
So now you're going to have the little ski rack thing?
Well, we joke about
with
the
carrier?
The roof rack and the little trailer of gear that we're going to start towing around with us. you know, the SUV has been great. It replaced an aging fleet. It brought us a little more capability in all-wheel drive and some space inside there for some of the electronics that we were carrying around. But the trunk space, is pretty limited. It's pretty limited. So we've been very careful in how we have refined what we carry.
So you're kind of like a fire guy now.
Yeah.
Fixed and
There's a shovel and jumper cables. And the shovel's been used for firefighting and scooping up something off the road or putting some dirt on some oil or water. And there's some traffic cones, jumper cables. There's a medical bag. There are officers who... in the highway patrol who have as high as a paramedic in their medical training.
I would think that'd be handy in the rural areas.
It is very handy.
Yeah.
There are quite a few of them that are still emergency medical technicians.
So
and first responders, first aid.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Three, two, one. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Martin Abshire from the Arcata California Highway Patrol Office. Martin, as this time of the year does come around, three-day holidays are a biggie, obviously, and we'll be hearing about it. I guess now it's avoid the 8th rather than avoid the 7th.
That's right.
Yeah, that kind of takes on a whole different connotation. Avoid the 13th. Avoid the 28.
Yeah.
I like avoid like the drunk driver.
It's not like every 15 minutes. We were just talking about consistency and, you know, and practicality, and that's one that does change with the times.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's kind of cool that everybody's working together, most everybody's working together, you know, pulling the string and doing that stuff. During summertime, is there a lot more communication between the various law enforcement entities in the area than there is other times because there's so much more action going on out on the street?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that there's more communication. I think that communication is better the more we interact. The lines are so clearly defined. You know, the city police department handles stuff in the city, and the county sheriff handles stuff in the county. The highway patrol handles all traffic-related stuff in the county. We're called to assist the sheriff's department frequently, or the city police department if they have an incident where we could help them, our expertise could help them, and vice versa.
I guess I use Myrtletown kind of as my benchmark.
Yeah.
Everybody's here.
Yeah.
You got all the badges all coming through. You got, you know, the fire guys all over the way. I mean, it just, everybody works together.
We work well together. One of the things that we've done recently with the sheriff's department is a supervisor at the sheriff's department, a supervisor at the highway patrol, our liaisons now working together to you know, we haven't had any major issues at all, but sometimes the communication between the two agencies, which is very good, could sometimes be better.
Well, everybody's got jargon.
Lack of resources, middle of the night, we need to work together, what have you got, this is what I've got, and you know, the service to the public is better, the response to the 911 is better because of the efforts in communication and the partnerships.
Has that changed over the last little bit?
I think it's only gotten better. So yes, I think it has.
So how at some point, functionally one department, still silos, so you guys get your fancy cars, and the sheriff has his cars trying to be your cars.
Oh, you mean like fish and chips?
Yeah.
Or the county law enforcement where kind of just one uniform, one car. And
single dispatch, for example. Or everybody combines in all the training that's in the area. And that kind of stuff so that you don't have any kind of likelihood that there might be any miscommunication or somebody not recognizing somebody or something done inadvertently. Because everybody's been together and knows each other.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that happening, and it's not a this is mine and that's yours, you know, you're touching my stuff kind of thing. It's not like that at all. It's different responsibilities for different places, different statutes that require a different response.
So legally, you could never do it, you know, because your job functions are different.
Taxes that are spent on things in the city are different than the taxes spent on things in the county and the state and the nation. And you know, it's been a very good system over the history of our nation where we had a police department that handled their area and a county sheriff that oversaw his area, and that's worked well. Again,
don't screw up a good thing is what you're saying.
You know,
yeah, okay.
The best thing we can do is talk together, meet together, make sure that we're offering each other the services that we have, responding to one another, backing each other up, and making sure that you know, the bump in the night is responded to appropriately with as much responses as necessary.
I would think a lot of that, my terminology, cross-pollinization, could happen with horizontal transfers.
You know, like lateral transfer type thing?
Yeah, it's kind of happened a little bit, you know, with Hansel moving into the sheriff's department, some of the sheriff guys doing their stuff. Your guys, it kind of, I guess, is kind of happening anyway, but it's not formalized. So that it's kind of accomplishing that goal where communication is as clear as it possibly can be.
As clear as it could possibly be, yeah. I meet regularly with the sheriff's department and occasionally with the police departments. And, you know, we're always throwing out there, what can I do for you? And it's all in an effort to provide better services through better communication, working together, knowing each other's resources and limitations.
Even with 98% plus Downey in charge, huh? He's wanted me to refer to him that way now.
He has.
Yeah, 98.5% plus.
Okay.
I know. Some people's egos. KINS. News and information time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Martin Abshire.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:43. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Martin from the California Highway Patrol. Martin, the concept of sparks igniting a fire, I guess if you haven't seen it, you have a tough time believing it. We hear most of the fires that are roaring around are either lightning-caused, big spark, or human-caused. Okay, stupid in public, I think is what Millsap used to say. I always kind of bonded with that one myself. Right. Yeah. Certainly have sympathies in that direction. Have you ever seen a spark from a chainsaw, a spark or a fire started from a car that was driving and pulled over to the side of the road? Those types of anecdotal things we'll hear from our buddies in the fire service say, oh, yeah, that's a major concern. It seems that the odds would never allow that to happen, but they swear that it does. Have you ever seen that?
It does. Here's something my dad says. I can roll up and down the highway because that's where I live and work. I'm on the highway all the time. I see stuff all the time. And I'm out there, so I'm exposed to it, and I'm paying attention, so I really see some of this stuff. And, you know, my dad says he could drive to and from his home into Eureka and back for 20 years and never see anything happen. And I go down the highway and I see all kinds of things happen. You know, the guys in the fire service, they are the ones responding to the fire. The guy at one of the local retail shops is not. So is the perception that they rarely happen and never heard of it before? Sure, if you're locked in a cubicle all day long and you don't get exposed to that kind of thing. I have seen, you know, motorhomes catch fire, travel trailers, pickup trucks, cars, overturned motorcycle, big rigs, where they have some sort of event. They end up on the shoulder in the dry grass, and in some short period of time, by surprise, the hillside's on fire. And that actually happens quite a lot. The Forest Service, I met with the U.S. Forest Service last year. Well, they were releasing a public service announcement and a campaign to reduce trailer safety chain covers made out of old recycled fire hose to keep the sparks from happening. And, you know, we live here in a relatively wet environment. It stays green a lot here on the coast, but just drive 20 or 30 minutes inland and it's a different world.
We see that regularly.
It was 58 here when I arrived at Highway 299 and 101, and 45 minutes prior to that, it was 97 in Willow Creek. It's dry, and those types of things can happen. A spark can ignite an entire forest fire, and they can travel. A spark from a safety chain on a trailer could be just a few feet away from dry grass on the shoulder, and is it possible? Absolutely. A carelessly tossed cigarette
Now, that one I understand. I mean, that's like throwing a match out. I got that one. But
even the safe and sane fireworks that are sold at during this time of year, not used in a safe way, could ignite forest fires. And, you know, the Forest Service and our Cal Fire people, all of our fire service, they do a fantastic job. But on occasion, these things take off and envelop whole communities.
So what would you suggest as kind of safety if you have to pull over for whatever reason? How do you avoid inadvertently causing something like this to occur?
You know, if you have a catastrophic breakdown and you can't do anything but just stop in the lane and you just don't have a choice, that happens sometimes. If you have the luxury of finding a place to pull over, especially in the summertime, pull off in a place that's gravel or dirt or a wide paved area. Stay away from the dry grass. If you are alerting traffic to you being broken down by striking a road flare, maybe reconsider that in the summertime with the dry grass. Smoking and all those types of things, that's not the time. Around that dry grass is not the time. You know, once in a while we get somebody who's broken down and they're just stuck in the lane, they can't help it. There are other dangers there other than fire. Pulling off into a dry, grassy area, the underside of your car, the mufflers can be very, very warm. The catalytic converters can be hot. And, yeah, we've seen that. We've seen that cause fires.
If you were going to use a flare, or you're in a situation where you need to use a flare, get it out a little bit further into the roadway?
Keep it as far away from any combustibles as possible. Your car,
but you don't want to lob it in the middle of the road either.
Well, no, you don't want to be walking around in the middle of a two-lane highway at night, you know, and, you know, putting yourself at risk of getting hit. But, yeah, you want to, you know, maybe not use that type of thing. If you're in the dark, you know, your four-way flashers on your car, a flashlight, removing yourself either in the car with your seatbelt on or removing yourself from the car to a safe place just in case somebody comes along and hits you.
Far away from the car.
Far away. Far away.
Is that,
or seatbelted inside.
Is it legit to use 911 if you break
Absolutely.
Down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you are broken down, you're blocking the lane, you need some help. It's hot, you got little kids, you know, you could go on and on with the millions of possibilities. 911 on your cell phone primarily gets the California Highway Patrol.
And so that's a legit use.
And that would be a legitimate use. People use 911 all the time to report, you know, a tire tread laying in the road or something like that. Think about it. The next guy behind you is a motorcyclist and your big truck, you don't, you know, you're blocking his view basically of that item laying in the road. That's a hazard.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Hopefully we won't get any more press releases from you, at least for the next week or two.
Let's try to keep it safe out there.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.